So all of you are familiar with the four basic disc styles, right? And for a lot of you, very familiar. And so what I wanted to do at this point in the session is to dig a little deeper, all right? To kind of look under the hood at what's driving some of these more observable behaviors that we see. And the context that I want to use to discuss this is this idea of self-worth, right? You know, we all have these fundamental drives. One of them, for instance, is, you know, the drive to survive, right? We share that with pretty much all of the animal kingdom, right? Another drive that's almost as fundamental that we have, and in some respects uniquely human, is this drive to feel valuable, to feel worthwhile, to feel that we have some worth in the world. And so what we do is when we're very, very young, we make these very unconscious, very unspoken decisions about how the world works. And more to our point today is what makes us valuable. And the interesting thing is different people make wildly different judgments, right, again, as kids, about what makes a person valuable, what's going to make them valuable. For some people, I'm valuable if I achieve. Other people, I'm valuable if people pay attention to me. I'm valuable if everybody likes me. I'm valuable if I'm competent, right? And so I want to talk about some of those issues of self-worth and how that governs the behaviors that we see in DISC. So let's start. Let's just jump right in and talk about the D style, right? The dominant style, right? That we've got this very, you know, direct, results-oriented, sometimes very forceful style, right? But what's going on beneath the surface? What's driving that the behavior that we see? So I've worked as a counselor for a number of years, and when working with people who have a D style, when you start to dig beneath the surface, one of the things that becomes clear pretty quickly is this very strong belief that I have to be strong. Right? I'm valuable if I'm strong. Right? I'm valuable if I have no vulnerabilities. Right? And the downside of that, or the flip side of that, is right, I become less valuable if I'm weak or if I have vulnerabilities. Right? And so in order to reinforce that belief of being strong and consequently being valuable, right, we see a number of manifestations of that in their behavior, right? And so probably the first thing we see is this self-confidence, right? Is that they develop a very strong belief in their own opinions and ideas, right? You know, sometimes to the point where they don't recognize the value of other people's ideas. And they project confidence that a lot of people take comfort in. You know, and they actually do believe in their ideas, but this is also serving a purpose, right? Because to the degree that they can have certainty, right, that's necessary to maintain belief that they are in fact strong, right? And what goes along with that is this idea of no vulnerabilities, right? And particularly vulnerabilities in themselves. There's almost a sense of despising the vulnerabilities that they see in themselves. Right, to admit weakness to themselves is really, really profoundly disturbing to a lot of these folks. And so when insecurities start to bubble up, right, from the unconscious into something that they're aware of, the first reaction is really to mask those insecurities, right, with a strength. And what we also see is a rejection of tenderness, and particularly the more tender emotions. So things like fear or anxiety, right, or sadness, or maybe on the more positive side, things like compassion or empathy or affection, right? If you try to get a compliment from a D, right, it's oftentimes very difficult for these people because, you know, it feels very mushy. It feels very, very sappy to them. It's really a reflection of some sort of weakness or tenderness or vulnerability. Now, you know, there are certainly emotions that are left, passion for a goal, right? And very acceptable emotions. It's a show of strength. Oftentimes, anger is left as an emotion that's acceptable because it can be seen as a projection of strength. How many of you seen Sopranos? All right, so most of you have seen Sopranos or are at least familiar with it, right? So we've got this culture of men. It's about a mob family, right? And we've got this culture of men who are almost entirely all D, right? It's a very high D culture. And if you're in a, you know, we can all imagine, we don't have to be in the mob, right? We can all imagine, or maybe even have worked in a high dominance culture where if you show yourself to be weak, you show yourself to be hesitant, right? You're really not going to get anything done. You're going to be dismissed, right? Your ideas aren't going to be listened to. You really got to be aggressive. You really, strength is what's respected. One of the fascinating things about that show is that the main character, Tony, is having these, you know, he's this archetypical D character, right? Manifests all the typical D characteristics that we talk about. And he's suffering from these panic attacks, and so he's forced to go to a therapist. And in the process of going to a therapist, he's forced to make himself vulnerable. And so throughout the series, it's really interesting to watch how difficult it is for someone with these high D characteristics to make himself vulnerable, how much of a struggle it is, right? This balance between would I rather have the panic attacks or go through this extremely painful process that violates my values of making myself vulnerable. And so you can see him lashing out at the therapist. You can see how stressful it is for him. You know, one of the other characteristics, similar characteristics that we see of high D people is this real, I don't want to call it a fear, but it's disdaining the idea of being manipulated, right? That someone else is playing you, right? Folks here on this D quadrant are a lot less likely to take people's words at their face value, right? You know, effusive compliments or, you know, gushing praise is really going to be looked at it skeptically. If you're going to give me a reward, give me something concrete. Give me money. Give me a promotion, because I know you can't fake those, right? If you give me those, you mean it. If it's just words, right, I have no use for that. And a lot of this is based on a belief system that is not necessarily true, but I've found is often true to some extent or another of that the world is more or less kind of a hostile place, right? Is that you really kind of have to look out for your own interests, or you're going to be taken advantage of, right? And so there's this core unconscious belief that the world is a cold place, and in some respects the strong really are the only ones that survive, and for some people it's this belief that the strong are the only ones that should survive, right? And there's this secret assumption that most people see the world this way, and those people who don't see it this way are either gullible or suckers, right? They have kind of a naive view of the world, and so people with this D style really pride themselves as being realists. Right? They don't see themselves as being skeptical. They're just being pragmatic. And another consequence that we see of this strong belief that I have to be strong, right, is a really pronounced desire for independence and self-reliance. Right? I have to be able to rely on myself to solve problems. Because if I have to rely on someone else, right, I don't have complete security. One of the reasons why with people who have this strong D style, there's a strong desire for control, right, to be in power, right? And this desire for independence really is backed up by a couple of reasons. More on the surface is this sense that they really have a strong vision of what, you know, quote unquote should happen. Right, and they don't want interference from others. They want to have the power to make that vision come to life. Right, a second, maybe less conscious, right, motivator for this is that beneath the surface, another person's control over you is really an insult to your strength. Right, for another person to have power over you is in some respects humiliating. Right. And so they're really willing to ruffle some feathers, right, in order to reinforce their independence. But at their best, this self-assurance can really be infectious. And so if you have someone in your group who is really projecting this confidence in the direction you're going, it can really be infectious, help people believe in the bold plans that you have or the group has. And similarly, it really contributes to a very admirable level of determination and persistence to push through the obstacles no matter how bad things get. All right, so that's this idea that I have to be strong. Another really core assumption that's tied to the self-worth is a belief from pretty early on is that I'm only valuable if I'm the best, right? If I'm the top dog, if I have the power, right? If I'm in control, sometimes this leads to the much more competitive spirit that we see in these folks, right? A strong desire to win. And this is really building on that belief that I must be strong. It's taking it to the next level because the need to be strong in a hostile world quickly kind of cements itself in the ego as the belief that they're not only strong, but they're superior. They must be superior, right? Otherwise, what's the point? And for sure, this is not true of every single person with a D style. It's particularly true of people who are D and very immature, don't have a lot of self-awareness. As people with a D style learn to mature, right, learn to value themselves more just on who they are, as a, fundamentally having value in and of themselves, they need to rely less on these need to be strong or be superior. But there are still, we encounter a lot of people who maybe fall in the immature range of being D, right? And do have this strong, I wouldn't even say just drive, but a need to feel like they're the best, to feel like they're superior, right? And so we have this sense of wanting to be in charge. And it's not only because they feel like they're in the best position to be in charge, that they're the most competent or they have the clearest vision. But the authority in and of itself is rewarding, right? And reminds them that they are, in fact, on top, that they are respected, right? And it's easy to look at this and feel some sort of resentment towards that. But if we can step back and be objective, and we can just see this as a manifestation of a belief system, right? It's a little easier to deal with. There's also the frequent observation that people with this D style really, really dislike having their authority questioned, right? Especially if it's by someone that they don't regard as a superior. And one of the factors that I routinely see, especially when doing counseling with these folks, is a distortion of reality. And we all distort reality in one way or another to support our belief systems, right? To support the belief that we are valuable. And so with the high D style, we often end up with, for example, the situation a number of us have been in when we have, let's say, an executive, and maybe say a very immature executive, who has this high D style, and maybe he fashions himself as like a tell it like it is, blunt, matter of fact person, but is completely unwilling or really unable in some respects to hear feedback from other people. And the information that he gets in is distorted through that filter, and in order to protect this belief that I am strong and that I know better. It's a very basic defense mechanism. And these folks are, in that, especially in those types of situations, are a lot more likely to see aggression than other people would in the same situation. Their ego is, or their pride is much more likely to feel like it's been assaulted or offended than it is for other people in the exact same situation. And we have research that shows that people who demonstrate these more dominant characteristics actually don't deal as well with being frustrated as other people do. They show a much more elevated heart rate, these autonomic symptoms, whereas other people, when their goals aren't being reached or their goals get frustrated in some way, don't show as strong of a response. Right. Another consequence that we see of this strong again, not only desire, but really psychological need to be the best, to feel like one's the best, is the more forceful nature. And we look at, you know, the adjectives that correlate with the D style, all right? The number one most correlated is the word dominant, but the second most correlated is the word forceful, right? Is this willingness to push through their ideas or push through their solutions, no matter what the resistance is, almost in spite of the resistance, sometimes looking like a bully. And so we often talk about folks with the D style, particularly more immature people, really creating these win-lose scenarios. You know, there's all that cliche about the win-win scenario is the ideal scenario. But when you look at it through this perspective of when someone else is challenging me, they're really not only challenging my idea, they're challenging my value, because they're challenging the notion that I'm best, that I am superior. And so oftentimes, really, compromise feels like losing. And they can get so wrapped up in their anger in the moment and the desire to put the other person in their place that the intensity of the emotion, that the anger that they're feeling would be frankly difficult for any of us to do. And then the final thing that I'll mention under this topic is about the sense of rights. Often we find that people with this D style have an inflated sense of what their rights are relative to the rights of others. You know, unlike someone with the S style who has the opposite problem, right, really diminishes their rights relative to other people. And so they're much more likely to overstep their boundaries, all right, seeing it as their right, oftentimes trying to come in and single-handedly save the situation. Right. Now, I've been discussing some of the more, let's say, negative consequences of this behavior that, you know, I need to be the best, I need to be on top. But there are some positive consequences. Most notably is this real sense of stepping up to provide leadership or to provide guidance or to be in charge, particularly when that's lacking. All right, and then there's one final area that I want to talk about in terms of the D. And so we've been talking about this idea of self-worth and what gives me value. So there's value in sense of, you know, I'm valuable if I'm strong, I'm valuable if I'm the best. And then there's also this sense of that really develops early on is this belief that I'm valuable if I achieve, I'm valuable if I accomplish. And so when we talk to someone or we look at someone who's strong in D, what we see is this very intense sense of drive, right? Setting very high standards for themselves and other people, often described as very ambitious, right? Attracted to new opportunities, right? And then when they get an idea, they want to start executing immediately, as soon as the decision's made. You know, would rather, you know, rush into something a little too quickly and sort out the details later than to waste time deliberating, right? And that's because there's this internal pressure, really, to accomplish. We'd often describe people with the D style as very goal-oriented, right? They care about progress. There's always this nagging pressure to keep moving. You know, the word restless comes to mind. You know, and oftentimes in talking to people with this D style, they'll describe when they're in a situation where there's quiet, right? Their brain keeps telling them you're wasting time if you're not accomplishing something. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving, and they may actually not realize that this is, in some respects, really, really unique, that other people don't share this constant sense of pressure. It's like the fish, right, who doesn't realize that he's surrounded by water because that's all he knows. And so we have someone who's very expedient, in a lot of respects very practical or pragmatic. All right, they want to get things done, they want to get the results, so they're willing to take shortcuts. They're willing to charge into a new task, even if they don't necessarily have the knowledge or the skills. And they may actually believe they have the skills and the knowledge when in fact they don't, because we have that sense of confidence. And so this really, in many instances, creates a sense of unpredictability. and particularly a sense of unpredictability on an emotional level. With these folks, it's often difficult to predict when their frustration is going to shine through. And, you know, people who are sensitive to these cues really have a difficult time with this. It's very stressful for them to be around people with this emotionally unpredictive nature. We find also that people with this D style really, really respect competence. They really respect people who can get things done, right? Would much rather work with someone who's competent than someone who's friendly. Then also one of the hallmarks of the D style is this impatience. Again, if you think about someone with this internal drive to just go, gotta get things done, they can come across as very impatient with other people. You know, they want the direct answers, restless with people who aren't competent, who are wasting their time. And so here we've got someone who's very determined. Right, it's often a matter of personal pride to beat this obstacle. I'm not going to let it win. And so the person is very persistent in pursuing their vision and keep pushing and pushing. One of the other traits that's really commonly associated with the D style is this candor. And the flip side of that is insensitivity towards others. And in talking to people with the D style, in many instances, it's just that they don't really want to spend the time or expend the emotional energy that's necessary to choose their words. It's going to slow them down. Right? It's not an efficient way to do things. Right? At least in the short term, it doesn't appear to be an efficient way to do things. All right? I'm just going to tell it like it is. I'm just going to let loose with what I'm thinking. All right? And you should, right? Should, underline, you should be strong enough to hear the truth. Right? And if you're not, you need to get out of the way. Right? And the very idea that I have to curtail my opinions, all right, for the sake of someone else's feelings is an insult to me. Right? They should be able to handle it. Now, there are other times, and I really should say there are for other people, particularly for people with this D style who are less healthy, who are less emotionally mature, where we really, if we look beneath the surface, we can see an undercurrent of hostility or our vindictiveness. And so this candor, right, or this this bluntness, right, this quote unquote honesty, is really a cover. It's kind of an excuse, right, to manifest this general urge of vindictiveness or hostility, to put another person in their place, right? The tendency to use insults, all right, can be a play for power or an expression of this internal anger. And again, I want to be clear that this isn't true of everyone with the D style, certainly far from it. But there are a subset of people with this style who do have this undercurrent of vindictiveness, which they would label as justice or honesty. And this bluntness is really indulging. There's a really interesting line of research that's getting some more attention, and it's looking at emotions, and particularly these emotions that in some respects we would regard as very negative emotions, like anxiety or sadness or anger. But indulging indulging in those emotions actually activates the pleasure center of the brain as well, and so we would feel anger and pleasure at the same time, or disgust and pleasure at the same time, this idea of self-righteousness, right? And so for some people with this D style, tapping into that anger can really be, in a sense, fulfilling or pleasurable. Now, of course, this pleasure is usually outside of the person's awareness. And it the conscious motive is, again, to be honest or to tell it like it is. But we often find that these folks, these more unhealthy folks, are selectively honest, right? They're not necessarily honest about their own limitations or flaws in their own ideas, but honest about where they see flaws in other people's ideas. But they certainly don't try to hide their annoyance. All right, so we've been talking about the less healthy end of the continuum, right? And of course, there is the other end of the continuum, the healthy end. And this drive to achieve and to accomplish has, and most of us can think of plenty of examples of this as people, with people who are high D in our organizations, leads to this strong drive and this ability to get things out the door, to motivate people, to push themselves beyond what they thought was possible. They can really be fantastic executors, right? The drive to accomplish really does lead to some truly impressive accomplishments that probably would not have taken place otherwise. When we have this confidence or this sense of strength, right, this drive to be the best and the drive to accomplish, when the person is able to abandon the need to do those things, they begin to value themselves on who they are intrinsically, right? But we still have the remaining drive to keep moving and to keep pushing oneself, right? And we're able to mix this confidence and drive with maturity and flexibility to use other styles when the situation calls for it, we end up with someone who is just a tremendous asset to the organization and can be has the potential to just be an amazing leader.